This is Vegan Star. Vegan Star.
Hello, and welcome to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO, broadcasting live from the downtown east side on unceded Coast Salish territories. My name's Alyssa. I'm joined in studio today by Jackie and Allison.
Hi there.
Animal Voices is BC's animal advocacy and compassionate living show, proud to be bringing you interviews with local heroes and those at the forefront of the animal protection movement. We bring you also news, commentary, events, and more. You know you're listening to Animal Voices on Co-op Radio by all the squeaking in the background. If you've ever had the pleasure of meeting a donkey, you know just how easy it is to fall in love with their gentle, humble nature. On today's show, we feature a lovely chat I had this week with Shirley Mainprize, operator of a Turtle Island Donkey Refuge, which is not too far from Kamloops, BC. And if I could choose something to feature that would be the complete opposite of a donkey sanctuary, what would that be? How about Las Vegas? Later in the show, yeah. Jenny shares a dispatch from her latest journey, a conversation with Paul Graham, the creator of the popular blog Eating Vegan in Vegas. And that was a really interesting conversation she had, and we're happy to share that. Today is Friday, April 12th. It's the first day of Co-op Radio's Spring Member Drive, and we're humbly asking you today to make a declaration of your love and appreciation of the hard work we do as volunteers to delight, educate, and inspire you. As you probably know, Co-op Radio relies on the support of the public to keep doing what we do, and we've made it really easy for you to help out. All you need is two things, a phone and a few dollars. Call 604-684-8494 right now to speak with Jackie, who's on the phones accepting your support in any amount. It all adds up. Every year, each show on Co-op Radio is tasked with raising funds to support the station, and Animal Voices aims at $1,000 for 2013. You can help us get there. And when you do that, you're entered to win one of six great prizes. We're offering a draw for all the people who donate during the Spring Member Drive, which is over the next three Animal Voices shows. And some of the prizes include the Vegan Secret Supper Cookbook and a dinner for two at Rhizome Cafe. And stay tuned for more information on the prizes. It's time now to show a bit of love for the only show that gives a much-needed platform to those working to protect animals and promote a compassionate lifestyle. Please call 604-684-8494 to become a member of Co-op Radio now for any amount. And now, I guess we'll just have a little chat about what we did over the last week and look forward to a couple events coming up before we get into our feature interviews.
Mm-hmm. So on last weekend, I went to a Nice Shoes fundraiser for Fur Bear Defenders. It was actually really great. It was a great crowd, and it started off with Leslie Fox telling us a bit about fur bears and why they do the work they do, which I think is great to have that kind of Q&A to start things so people know directly where the money's going towards and what they're helping out. And the food was provided by Loving Hut, and it was just a great opportunity to even just shop for a compassionate shoes at a great store with lots of options.
Awesome. Yeah, I had I didn't get to stay for the whole night, but I got to stop by and I tasted a bit of the food, and it was great that they were so full. And did you mention how much money they raised? It was I think it was almost $2,100 for Fur Bear
amazing.
Defenders.
Yeah, that's just fantastic.
Yeah, in just one night. And they had an awesome raffle. Lots of great prizes were won. Plate Invaders, the secret supper club that I organize, was one of the prizes. And congratulations to the winner of that prize. We hope to see you at a dinner soon. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just kind of wanted to mention Plate Invaders had a really good week We were featured in the Georgia Strait in an article about vegan secret suppers in Vancouver.
Yeah, and for those who don't live in Vancouver, the Georgia Strait is a major arts and culture, the major arts and culture newspaper in Vancouver. So that's really huge. And not only that, they've got their presence on the web at strait.com. So I kept just seeing this article it pop up everywhere online in the last week. And that's great. I didn't even realize until Alyssa mentioned it today that it was actually in their print newspaper, too, which gets huge distribution. So
we're so proud of Alyssa and Tim. Good job.
Thanks, guys. Just looking forward to events coming up. What do we have on the calendar?
So I just wanted to talk about an event that I'm actually hosting. It's next week, Saturday, April the 20th. It starts at 11 a.m. and it goes until 1 p.m. So for people who live in the Surrey-White Rock area, this event's for you, especially for people who want to know more about plant-based nutrition and what to buy when you're at the store. So this is an event being hosted by myself as part of Vancouver Meatless Meetup, and it's a nutrition tour at the Choices Market at 3248 King George Boulevard in Surrey. And we invite you to come for a fun and informative and free vegan nutrition tour at the Choices Market. It will be presented by registered nutritionist Sonia Reed, and you will learn how to choose healthy and delicious vegan foods for yourself and your family. She will cover all the healthy eating basics with plenty of love for a whole food based, locally focused eating plan. And you can come with your nutrition questions and leave armed with lots of knowledge. This event is specifically, it's mostly for people who are not vegan and don't know yet about all the different foods that are out there and perhaps plant-based nutrition, but it is open to everyone. And to sign up, you can go to meetup.com/meatless meetup. That's meatless, M-E-A-T-L-E-S-S, meetup. And you can enter your RSVP there, and I'll see you there next Saturday.
Awesome. What else do we have coming up? Something across the Georgia Strait.
Mm-hmm, yes. In Victoria, on Saturday, April 27th, from 2 to 4, there's a picnic at Willows Beach Park, and that's free. All are welcome. Bring kids and dogs and join other animal lovers for a picnic, music, raffles, costumes, and there are prizes for the best ones and information about rescue and advocacy work for animals in labs. And it ends with an animal alley walk, with a do no harm walk along the waterfront to the Oak Bay Marina.
Are you planning on...
I wish I could
get over there.
I'm so busy, I never get time to go over there, unfortunately.
And that's for the World Week for Animals in Laboratories.
Yeah.
So who's putting on that event?
It's Stop UBC, I believe.
Stop UBC Animal Research.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Excellent. Sounds great. I don't know of anything else coming up at this point, but I did just want to kind of mention that I hosted a workshop last night, or co-hosted, with my lovely new friend Cynthia Ganatra, who's a yoga teacher, and the workshop was about yoga and veganism and how they connect, and I think it was successful.
What was the turnout like?
Well, I think 6 people plus us, and they were all vegan. But at first, you know, we were hoping this would be a bit of an outreach event for people doing yoga who might be thinking about vegetarianism or, you know, living more of the yoga off the mat, the moral path, and following or trying to reach unity, which is what yoga means in the large sense. But yeah, it was all vegans, and it was actually quite lovely. Like, unexpectedly, it just seemed like that's what people needed, just to get together with like minds and share in a supportive space and reconnect to values and build community. So yeah, I foresee future events like this, and I would call it a success.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I just wanted to talk about some of the amazing guests that we've had here on the Animal Voices show since I've been part of the show, and that's been since 2009. You know, we really try to bring a good range of people to interview on the program, and they have included some of the most high-profile members of the animal rights community who are well-known in the small community, but not so much in the mainstream public. So that's why I'm grateful to have been able to have brought them onto the airwaves at Co-op Radio in the past 3 years so that they can convey their knowledge on important issues affecting all human beings, not only to the people of Vancouver, but also far beyond that via the internet broadcast and podcasts that our station and show employs. So some of the, I wanted to talk about some of my most memorable interviews that I can think of, and these are some that come to the top of my mind. Dr. Will Tuttle, he's the author of one of my top all-time favorite books, and that's called The World Peace Diet, which I consider to be required reading for every human being, and there's good reason for that. In this book, Dr. Tuttle conveys his deep and wise knowledge of how all beings on this planet are interconnected, and so then how we must all acknowledge that and live our lives in accordance with the peace that we wish to be at in order to live with joy and fulfillment for ourselves. There's so many subtopics that he writes about in this book that all come under this one broad subject, and he has so much wise knowledge to impart. So we've had him on the show a few times now to share with us some of his ideas. Also on my top two list for my favorite books is the classic and groundbreaking for its time, Diet for a New America by John Robbins. And I was also honored to be able to interview John Robbins on the show a few years ago, also to share with us some of the ideas that he originally presented in this book when it was first published in 1985. Diet for a New America explores the reasons for eating a plant-based diet based on the health, ethical, and environmental consequences of our food choices. And while the statistics may have slightly changed since 1985, the very compelling information and arguments that he presents in this book are still very relevant today and have been known to be life-changing for many who have read the book. In fact, it was because of so many people being personally impacted by this book that the nonprofit organization EarthSave was born in the late 1980s, as well as EarthSave Canada in Vancouver in 1989. And one more, Gene Bauer. He's also been one of my favorite interviews on the Animal Voices show. He is, of course, the co-founder of the most premier farmed animal sanctuary in North America, and that is called Farm Sanctuary. And the work that he has pioneered since the 1980s on behalf of the animals has just been astounding. Farm Sanctuary started literally from rescuing one sheep named Hilda from the dead pile at a stockyard auction in the 1980s and has long since hugely expanded to this national organization that not only operates two large animal rescue shelters, but also employs the components of public education and governmental lobbying in their organizational framework. And Gene is just such a great guy. I've seen him speak many times, and the stories and the information that he has to share from his life experiences, especially in the approachable and compelling way that he does this, are just so important to be spread among our society on an individual and grand scale so that people can really understand how farmed animals are treated in our society, in our world, and understand that they are emotional beings who want to experience joy in life just like we humans do. Farm Sanctuary's motto, changing hearts and minds, is so appropriate in this vein. There are many other fantastic past interviews that I'd like to talk about, but that's all the time we have for today. You can, of course, find the podcasts of all these interviews by going to our website, animalvoices.org, and I certainly encourage you to do so. Our spring member drive at Co-op Radio starts today, and our goal for fundraising for today is to reach $200. So if you value the work that we do here at Animal Voices Radio, all as volunteers, I urge you to please make a donation to the Radio Society on behalf of Animal Voices. We do need to raise this money to keep the show on the air. So as a token of our appreciation for every person who donates between now and April 26, we'll put you in a draw for a selection of five awesome prizes. And those prizes are a copy of the book Vegan Secret Supper, Bold and Elegant Menus from a Rogue Kitchen by Marita Anderson, a copy of the book High Stakes, Why and How to Eat Less Meat by Eleanor Boyle, a copy of the Eating Vegan in Vegas ebook by Paul Graham, and we'll have him on later in the show today. A copy of the book Vegan Cooking for Carnivores, over 125 recipes so tasty that you won't miss the meat by Roberto Martin, and a $10 gift certificate to Eternal Abundance, the raw vegan restaurant located in Vancouver. We can mail the gift certificate to you, but for any of the other prizes, you do have to come to the station in downtown Vancouver to pick them up. And also for every new person who makes a donation to CFRO and therefore joins as a member, you will have the chance to win an additional prize, and that is dinner for two at Rhizome Cafe located here in Vancouver. So to make a donation, you can do this in a few ways. You can call us right now at 604-684-8494, and Jackie will take your call to take your pledge over the phone. Or you can simply just go to cooperadio.org and click on Donate to Co-op Radio on the upper right-hand corner of the site, and make sure that your member donation there player is indicated to go to Animal Voices. We'll announce the winners of the draw on the air after the membership drive. We thank you in advance for your consideration and to help keep our important programming on the airwaves in Vancouver and around the world.
And now for our first feature interview. I had the pleasure of talking to Shirley Mainprize, one of the operators of Turtle Valley Donkey Refuge Society, which is based in around Chase, BC, which is, I don't know, about an hour northeast of Kamloops or so. And I just learned about that new sanctuary there because it made headlines across BC, at least, when 15 mini donkeys needed to be rescued from Vancouver Island because their caretakers fell ill. And so they were Turtle Valley Donkey Refuge Society accepted them and shipped them over. And now they're all arriving and being cared for. And I was really happy to talk to Shirley about what's going on with them and the plans for the Refuge Society. Hello, Shirley, and welcome to Animal Voices.
Thank you very much.
I wonder if you can first just give us an introduction to Turtle Valley Donkey Refuge and how you got started doing this work.
Yes, thank you. My husband and I have been rescuing donkeys for over 15 years, and we sold our home in 97 and bought the farm out here at Turtle Valley, which is 80 acres, for the sole purpose of providing more room and actually becoming a refuge. And when we rescued six mammoth donkeys, which are the big ones, about 3 years ago, we decided we couldn't financially keep this up ourselves, so we became a registered charity. When we arrived here, we had four donkeys. We now have 58 donkeys. So what that showed us is the great need for the donkeys to have a place that they can come to get care when they need it. And it's a labor of love, but oh my goodness, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. That's amazing. So why were you kind of attracted to donkeys in the first place? What kind of started that relationship?
Well, I know it was our destiny. I have no doubt of that, but it was my husband, actually. He was recouping from a broken neck, and we went down to a fruit stand that had some donkeys, and he connected with this one donkey, and when he looked into its eyes, his shoulders relaxed, and his pain subsided from his injury. And he thought maybe he should back off the meds, that, you know, maybe he was taking too many. But the next day he went and saw some other donkeys, and the same thing happened, and he just fell in love. And I promised him if he got through all his operations, I'd buy him one. Well, we bought Max from a lady, and she would only sell him if we took his mother, who was over 30 years old and needed care, and her name was Maria. And Maria the donkey taught us so much about donkeys in their elderly years, what they need, what their health issues are as a result of bad care in that lifetime. And it just went from there. People heard about us and started rescuing donkeys and bringing them to us. But they're incredible animals. I feel like they're old souls. They're not a well-respected animal worldwide, and they haven't been for centuries. They're a beast of burden. They're a working animal, which in third world countries, they are an owner of a donkey cares for him to the best of his ability because that's his job. He works with that animal. He has to look after it. In North America, when they came with Christopher Columbus, the donkeys had a need until the railroad came, and then they basically just let the donkeys go. And, of course, they couldn't survive our winters. And that's sort of in a nutshell, when they have a need, they are appreciated. But when the people decide that they really, it's too much work, or they can't care for it through economic reasons, or just the fact that they outlive the owners, bad things happen. And that's where we come in. We provide a permanent home. We don't rehab them and then sell them. We want to make sure that the donkeys have already had, if they've had a bad time, when they come here, they will not face another bad time in their lifetime.
Amazing. I can imagine that each individual donkey has quite a story in terms of then showing up at your door. So speaking of showing up at your door, you said you have 58 now total, which is amazing. Just over the last month, you've got a whole bunch of new friends. Can you tell us about that story?
Certainly. That was a gentleman phoned us from Vancouver Island. He came upon bad health issues, serious health issues, and realized he wasn't able to care for the animals like he knew he should. So he called us and asked us to step in and come get them. And we had never rescued 15 before, and we certainly had never faced the cost of going to Vancouver Island and back. So we started a campaign to raise funds to cover the cost because we're a young charity. We're only 3 years old, and we just don't have the financial backing yet. So that was a very successful campaign. It was so nice to see people from all over the world still caring about animal welfare. I was flabbergasted at even there was large donations, well, large to us, which would be a couple of $1,000s, but there was even a $5 donation, and to me that span of amounts showed that people were willing to give what they could afford because they knew animals need help. And we, since then, the 15 donkeys are here now and have started all their health treatments, and we're going back down to the island next week because there's two more that need to come from a different place altogether. They were in a petting zoo. I don't know what we're going to do, but I know we have to expand. Our farm is too small. And so my husband and I are going to sell this farm one more time and buy another one that the charity can use so that we have more barn space, because donkeys do not like our Canadian winters. They don't do well in it. They get wet and they can be chilled because they're naturally a desert animal. So we're hoping to move a little closer to Kamloops where the air is drier, and that will be better for them.
And I wish you the best in finding an amazing new, bigger space that'll be right for the donkeys and welcome more that need you. Just again, looking forward, I'm wondering how can people help and learn more about the donkeys. I noticed on your website you have a couple events coming up in different ways that people can show support.
That's right. Well, they can always donate, and they can either mail a check, and our address is 1125 Ptarmigan Road, Chase, BC, VOE1M1. They can certainly go online and do the process on our website. They can visit the refuge. I mean, this is a working farm, but we do open 3 days a week, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 to 3. And one of us, either Rob and I, will be there to talk to people and just show them about. And we have a fundraiser on March the 11th, May the 11th, which is the day before Mother's Day, and that is called Spring Fling, and that kicks off our season of the public being able to see the donkeys and hear their stories and have a hot dog and just a good time in the country.
Oh, great. And I notice also people have the opportunity to adopt the donkeys. You have some pictures and their stories up on your website. Can you maybe share a bit about maybe one or two donkeys and how they arrived and why they need your help?
Absolutely. And that's called the sponsorship program. So it helps assist people in connecting with a donkey that's here, and it's on a more personal level. They get a sponsorship package. It's $50 a year. And I'm just doing up a sponsorship right now to mail out to a lady, and the sponsorship's going to somebody in Greece. And the donkey she's sponsoring is Socrates. And Socrates is in his 20s. He's a mammoth, so that's the largest size. And he was very ill when he arrived here last year, and he has Cushing's disease. And he's on a medicine for Parkinson's for humans. And it's actually quite expensive in it's $300 for this little bottle. But what it did was take Socrates from the door of death into a healthy, very, very happy donkey. And we're encouraged and thankful that we could have done that for him. And he actually belonged to a lady that was getting on and needed to downsize her farm and move on with her late years. And that's another very common reason why donkeys come here is we're all getting older and the farms are going to be sold. And some of these people have owned these donkeys for 20 years or more. Like, they're part of their family. And they want to know that that donkey's going to be safe for the rest of his life. So they don't want to sell it because there is no guarantee, not the home that they sell it to, but the next one is the unknown. And so they want to be assured that the donkey has a good life. And the other thing is a lot of people don't want to buy elderly animals, period. It doesn't matter what they are. So there, I'm seeing that as a very common thread in animals in general, not just donkeys, but dogs and cats and every other pet. Parrots are a prime example. Where do they go when the people don't want them, and yet they've had them for their lifetime? Donkeys, it would take two generations of one family to see it from start to finish. I mean, that's kind of unlikely for that to happen. There is a need. There is a huge need. And I want to say one more thing, too, because as a small charity, we struggle with finances continuously. And I talk to a lot of other small charities that are in animal welfare, and we all have that common thread of feast or famine. You either have the money to pay for it or you don't, and you're scrambling to figure out how to pay for it. And they're all dedicated volunteers. Like, my husband and I don't get paid, and that is a very common thread as well. These small dog rescues or cats or sheep or pot-bellied pigs, it's all the same. We're all dedicating our lives, and we do a very, very important job because we're more grassroots. We're on the level where the animals are in the field, and I just want people to be aware that they're all valid rescues, and they do a really, really good job. And they need help just like as much as the big high-profile ones. Anyway, there's my soapbox story for the day.
I think those are important words, and I very much appreciate you sharing them. That is so true. And So we'll post links on the Animal Voices blog to learn more about the refuge and how to support you and donate and to keep in touch with how you grow and change. All the best to you, Shirley Mainprize, and Rob Miller, for the work you do at Turtle Valley Donkey Refuge.
Thank you, and thank you very much for your support.
Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, is member-owned. When you take out a membership in Co-op Radio, you get a share in the station. This makes you a part owner.
Co-op Radio is member-driven. When you become a member, you can get involved in programming and help run the station. Co-op Radio is community radio. Visit cooperadio.org to find out how you can become a member.
Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM, all different, all the time.
If you're listening now, we know that you are a friend of the animals just like us, and we're calling on you to show us some support now. Call 604-684-8494 to become a member of Co-op Radio and to send us some love. That was such an awesome experience talking to Shirley Mainprize of the Turtle Island Donkey Refuge Society in BC, and without, you know, outlets like ours, her story wouldn't be able to get across, and we're very humbled to be a platform for people working on behalf of animals in so many different ways. So again, the number is 604-684-8494. You can give us a credit card number over the phone, or you can mail in some cash, or you can send us a check or money order.
Send us an envelope with some $20 bills.
Yeah, totally do that. That is a great idea.
Or loonies or toonies.
and your pennies too? No, don't do that. But yeah, thank you so much to Diane LeClaire, who's a new member of Co-op Radio and who supports Animal Voices. We thank you so much for your support.
Thank you, Diane.
It means so much. And yeah, it's time to become a member now, like us, and help us keep doing what we're doing. We're going to chat about some news items now. I wanted to mention something that came up over the last week. The provincial government, the BC government, is committing $1 million to providing milk at elementary schools.
Cow's milk, not almond milk?
Yes.
Okay.
Over 1,400 schools are registered for the BC School Fruit and Vegetable Nutrition Program and will receive local cow's milk free of charge for children in kindergarten to grade 2. The BC Dairy Association is providing funding to share the cost of the milk program with the BC Agriculture in the Classroom Foundation.
What is the purpose of this? Is it, I'm wondering, is it for promotion for the Dairy Board? Because I remember them giving us out free milk when we were in elementary school and when we did the milk run. Or is it to nourish children who need nourishment?
I don't know. It's probably both. I mean, I think everything, I mean, the BC Dairy Association, I think they have tons of money for outreach and propaganda sharing of how wonderful cow's milk is and helping, making people forget how terrible it is for the cows.
You know, I wonder with just in recent years with the just like the introduction of all these non-dairy based milks, almond milk, flax milk, oat milk, potato milk, coconut milk, and soy milk, to name some, I think that they have some competition now. And I think that that might be motivation to be implementing this program at this time with, as you say, all that extra money they have for advertising. So yeah, that might be a motivating factor.
They're definitely trying to influence them, people when they're very young.
Yeah.
So it just becomes a habitual thing. Yeah.
And it is a fruit and vegetable nutrition program. So it sounds like whoever in the BC government had that idea and put it together first didn't really have dairy in mind. But then it sounds like the dairy industry was like, hey, let us in. We'll give you free milk.
We're your new fruit and vegetable.
Wow.
Yeah. There was one comment online for kind of a different perspective. Krista Truman, who used to work on the Animal Voices show, said that she thinks it's important to get calories into young kids, kind of no matter where it's coming from, because there's so many kids living in poverty in the province. And
sure,
just to give them something is good.
That could be part of a different kind of program, though, which is why I asked, like, what is the motivating factor? Is it, is it to feed hungry kids or is it to promote their product?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But there was something else quickly we wanted to cover. Allison?
This is a local story, and it's probably made national headlines when it first happened last year. So the owner of Captain, a German Shepherd, found fatally wounded in a Kitsilano, Vancouver dumpster last summer, has pleaded guilty to animal cruelty. That happened this week on Tuesday, I believe. Brian Whitlock entered the plea Tuesday on a single count of causing unnecessary suffering, pain, or injury to an animal. He faces up to 5 years in jail, a $75,000 fine, and a possible ban on owning animals. And he was found near death in July 2012 after neighbors heard his cries from the trash container. And he was found wrapped in a bloody blanket, bruised, emaciated, covered in feces, and unable to walk. And despite medical efforts, Captain went into cardiac arrest and died the next day. And this case is scheduled to continue with pre-sentencing hearing in June.
Interesting. I just wanted to quickly mention, we don't have much time to chat about it, but I think the reaction to this, like, people are so passionate about this one issue and this one
for
dog,
sure,
and it's horrifying what happened. It's also happening every day in slaughterhouses,
factory farms.
And for dogs and cats,
laboratories
too, get put down every day.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's a whole lot of passionate, angry energy I see out there that seems a little misdirected. Yeah. That's my opinion.
Well, it's the same thing as the Huskies in Whistler, right? Like, the outrage for that. And it is a really messed up story, but this is happening all the time, legally.
This is Vegan Star. Vegan Star.
Animal Voices, it is co-host Jenny here. I have the pleasure to share with you an interview I did last week while I was on vacation in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the United States of America. I met up with author of Eating Vegan in Vegas, subtitle If It Can Happen Here, It Can Happen Anywhere, written by the wonderful Paul Graham. It was really great to sit and talk with him about his advocacy efforts, both through his writing and blog, but also through other advocacy and animal rights work that he's doing in his own life, and to hear about his very engaging story.
So, Paul, welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show.
Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much for being on the show today. So, can you tell us a little bit about how the blog and the project got started?
I became a vegan, actually, here in Las Vegas about 5 years ago, and was just kind of really getting my feet under me the first couple of years. And then I decided, you know, I really wanted to do something to be able to kind of help the movement, to be able to help build a bridge. You know, I see myself as a bridge builder between myself and other people and helping them to, you know, get to a better place in life. And I just think that this being vegan is the answer for so many of the problems that face our world today. So about 2.5 years ago, I decided to do a blog that would basically be a bridge to people, to help people to see that you could find a plant-based meal almost anywhere. Do this blog. I was going to eat at a different place every day, have a different meal every day, and blog about it and let people know as a way of building a bridge to people, whether it be here locally or some of the 3 million-plus visitors that come here every month.
That's amazing. And can I ask, so how did you become a vegan in the first place?
Yeah, I was just actually at a point in life where I was really looking for myself to optimize my health. I've always been very active and really in relatively good shape, but as I researched it, I just found that almost everything that breaks our body down, that debilitates us, that leads to disease, is diet-related. And so as I was looking at that, I said, one of the biggest contributors to that is meat and animal products. I kind of went more to the vegetarian, and then someone handed me the book Skinny Bitch and said, hey, what you're doing, I thought this would be helpful for you. And I said, well, I'm not sure if that is really something I aspire to be. But then, for me, the bridge that led me to being vegan was really health, is to optimize my health. From almost the very beginning, the ethical side of things, the social justice side of things, has been extremely important to me, as well as the environmental and the spiritual reasons as well. And I actually touch on all four of those areas in my book as well, because I not only wanted to show them where to go eat, but I wanted to talk about why. Just by making that one decision in our lives, we can affect all of these areas in such a positive way. I want to educate, enlighten, and encourage. And as a result of it, I literally have people almost on a daily, if not a weekly basis, that are saying, okay, I'm ready, I'm going, I'm doing this. And so I'm working with people literally, not only just here in Las Vegas, but all over the world, and kind of coaching them and helping them, you know, in this vegan journey.
Yeah, I liked your Facebook page a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. and when I was preparing for my trip, and you sent me a personal message. Mm-hmm. So how are you able to make that personal connection with people, even through the internet?
Well, everybody that I connect with, whether it be on my personal page or on my Eating Vegan in Vegas page, for example, just to take Facebook. And Facebook's very user-friendly, so it's easy to do that. It's just a great thing, because they'll message me back, and I said, wow, people don't normally do that. I said, well, you know, I don't want to be like everybody else.
How did the ebook develop from the blog? How did you make that transition?
Actually, you know, my first thought was I really wanted to get this information mobile for people. I wanted to be able to make it accessible to people. And I thought, well, you know, a book is good. But my initial thought was actually to turn it into an app. And it's still, even with the blog, I get people literally to write me on an everyday basis. Hey, I'm coming to Las Vegas for a couple of days. Where should I eat? And, you know, I initially, you know, would send them back, well, you can go to my blog and you go to the archives and do all that. But I realized that's not very user-friendly and everything like that. So I really wanted to be able to create a guide. So my first initial thought was to be able to have an app. And I kind of had that in the back of my mind after I finished the project. Right about the time that I was finishing my one-year project, I actually got a call from a publisher in New York, from Sullivan Street Press. And it just so happens one of my good friends, who's also a writer out here and does a lot of things, his is more green living and things like that, but he's a vegan, was actually helping them with their website. And so he kind of introduced her to my blog, and she just loved it. And she just, she approached me and she said, hey, we're going to be in Las Vegas and want to know if you'd like to, you know, sit down and talk a little bit and talk about, you know, possibility of turning your blog into an ebook. And this particular publisher is a leading green ebook publisher, and for a lot of reasons just primarily does just ebooks and not, you know, printed books. Actually thought about it and said, well, you know, ebook is maybe even a little bit better than doing an app, you know, because it's still mobile and you can still take it with you and have it, but I could put a little bit more substance into that I couldn't put into an app. Again, it's not only going to be a guide for eating, but it's also going to be a guide for living.
So how did you come up with to start the project? What were your inspirations when you first decided to take on your journey of eating vegan?
Well, I knew that I had to do something. I knew that I wanted to do something, and I've always been interested in writing. I've done a lot of public speaking before in life, but I wanted to do a little bit more on the writing. I've never done a blog before. Read a book called Julie and Julia, which, of course, they made into a movie, which I saw as well. Very inspiring. Just about very similar in the sense a young woman who had a desire to write and didn't really know what to do and had never done a blog before, but decided to flip through the Julia Child cookbook and blog about it and look where it kind of went for her. Food is a very important part of everybody's life. It's something that people think about at least 3 times a day, if not more. So if we can at least initially build a bridge with people there, with all the people that come here every month and now the 2 million people that live here in this area, that would be a start, you know. And the idea, too, is if I can show people how to do it here in Las Vegas, you know, then it can really be done anywhere. I said, well, what if I could do this for a year? If I could go out and eat a different place, have a different meal every day, and then blog about it and let people know about how they could find a plant-based meal here in Las Vegas, and do it. And it's just really then took on a life of its own. The food was great, but the people have really what had made this whole thing special, because it just opened up the world.
How have the vegan options changed over the years, or since you began the project, have you noticed a lot of shifts in the options?
There has been, I talked about it, you know, being a shift, and of course it's gone in connection with things that we're seeing on a, not only on a nationally basis here in the United States, but on a global basis, where just the numbers of people that are switching to veganism, the plant-based eating, have almost doubled in the last 2 to 3 years. While Las Vegas doesn't have a lot of dedicated vegan restaurants, the ones we do have are really good. What we are a leader in is just the number of restaurants that now are offering vegan options. And Steve Wynn really helped this a couple of years ago in his own journey to eating plant-based and making it available to all his employees and things like that. But he just said, I'm gonna make these options available in all of our restaurants. And that really opened up the door for a lot of things, I think, for the people, because he said, here's a consummate businessman. No matter how he might have felt personally about this, he also believed that this was a good business move as well, because he saw where things were going. As deeply as we feel about the animal issues and things like that, the practicality of eating is so important for people. We have to show people how they can do that.
In terms of being in Vegas, what advice do you have for vegan travelers in Vegas or people visiting Vegas in general who are interested in vegan options?
It can be a little intimidating, but I also try to show people be realistic and look for places close to where you're staying, because I also believe in sustainability and things like that, and I don't think we should be directing people all over town and directing, you know, wasting money and gas and all those sorts of things. Try to find the places that are close by. Sometimes it's just a matter of for people finding out, well, would I really like to find somewhere I can go and just buy some things and also bring it back to my room? I said, well, that's fine, too. You know, I'm going to say, we have four or five Whole Foods restaurants here in town, stores, but we have one just down the street here on Las Vegas Boulevard, just a little bit south of Mandalay Bay.
If you were to recommend one thing, do you have a favorite restaurant or meal in Vegas, one feature that really stands out to you?
Well, I always tell people, I said, if you can, is to try to go to Pura Vida, which is, Pura Vida is one of our dedicated vegan restaurants, and it's just off the strip between here and the downtown area. And Chef Myra is so wonderful because it's some of the best dedicated vegan food that you'll probably find anywhere. And she's just the way she cooks, her style, the presentation, and just how she utilizes fresh herbs and flowers and all these things in the meals are just wonderful. So I try to recommend people to go there as well. But we have some great options here on the strip. And one of my favorite places in this last year since they've opened up is Slice of Vegas Pizza, which is in Mandalay Place, between Mandalay Bay and Luxor. And the restaurant group there, they own two restaurants there, Husong's Cantina, which is two doors down from Slice of Vegas. And they have a regular menu, but they also have a full vegan menu as well. Build a bridge with your server, and don't be afraid to ask questions. The awareness and the acceptance from the restaurants, from the servers, everything on down has become so much greater now, where you tell them that you're vegan, and a lot of them, even if they're not vegan themselves, they have at least enough of an understanding to know that there are things on the menu you need to stay away from, and they'll point things out to you and things like that.
I was just wondering also, do you know anything about the non-eating aspects of being vegan in Vegas? Like, do you have any experience with entertainment that might be vegan in Vegas, or your thoughts on the culture here?
Well, it's one of the things I love about Las Vegas is I love music, for example, so it's nice to be able to be in the city that you can have multiple live music options every night of the week, you know, and with not even major concerts and clubs or things like that. We're in the initial stages right now of being able to do some things here in the city on a city and countywide basis, for example, where we have a group that's coming together right now where we're going to petition the city, and we feel very confident this is going to go through, is to no longer, for example, have the pet stores to be able to sell, you know, pets, cats, dogs, whatever that come from those. And we feel very confident that's going to be something that's going to happen even this year here.
That's wonderful. We actually have some cities in the Vancouver, British Columbia area that have already done that.
Right.
So I think it's really amazing that you're working on that, in addition to all the other ways that you're compassionate advocating.
Right. Well, you know, and that's the thing, then, is, again, even with the people I've met, is just that everybody wants to do something. It's just not enough. Because once you got the eating thing down, once you got the health thing down, that's almost a byproduct. That becomes a byproduct. Then you really, if you're going to really help in terms of being able to change the culture and change the world, it's really about what can we do for the animals, what can we do for the environment. And we're steadily growing also to be one of the greenest cities in the country as well. Most of all of our commercial buildings that are being built right now are LEED certified, and we have, obviously a beautiful place to have solar. So, you know, we're giving more and more solar projects going on a commercial residential basis, and our recycling and things like that. All of these things kind of play in, and I think they all kind of work together. The thing that I always share with people is, what other decisions can you make in life that is going to not only be of benefit to yourself by benefiting your health and your peace of mind and your spirit, but also is going to be one of the greenest things that you can do personally to help the environment, as well as, let's just say, conservative way, just by your doing that personally, by stepping away from the use of animal products in your life in any way, you're going to save, let's just say conservatively, 100 animals' lives a year. Could be more, and I think some people's lifestyles, it is significantly more than just 100. But even as 100, what other decision can you make in life that just by your making this decision can have that kind of impact? So that's where it is. If the future's going to change, you know, it's going to change one person at a time.
That's wonderful. I really appreciate the way that you help animals so much in all these different ways. As a final question, I just wanted to ask you on the lighter side of things, do you have a spirit animal?
And I love animals, you know, so much, and I'm blessed to have some amazing companion animals. And I don't refer to my animals, some people do, as pets, you know, because if anything, I'm their pet. they kind of control things. I don't have any control in the matter. I don't walk them, they walk me, that sort of thing. But I do really, have a real affinity for cats and big cats, and tigers seem to be very prominent in my life. They pop up everywhere, and so I'm very concerned, too, about, you know, the state of tigers in our world, and, you know, that some estimates say as little as 3,000 in the wild that are still free, you know, which is nothing compared to how it's been. So I probably have to go with the tiger on that one.
Well, that's great, and I know there's a lot of people working on conservation efforts there, so I hope that they help to preserve your spirit animal
right. For
all of us.
I hope so. I don't want them all to be spirits, so that's that's
sure.
Great.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show today, Paul, and we look forward to promoting your new ebook, Eating Vegan in Vegas. And our listeners can check that out online to purchase from Sullivan Street Press.
Paul's ebook was just released yesterday by Sullivan Street Press and can be purchased online at their website, sullivanstpress.com. It can be found at the shop under ebooks, Eating Vegan in Vegas. It's available for $12.95 in a variety of electronic formats. Paul can also be reached at his Facebook page, facebook.com/eatingveganinvegas, or the blog that started it all, eatingveganinvegas.tumblr.com, and he also has a Twitter presence in addition to both of those. I'd like now to take a quick second just to tell you a little bit about my trip. It was really great. I did get to visit Pura Vida, the all-vegan restaurant in Vegas, and I had a delicious burrito and also a giant, what they called a marble waffle. It's really cool there because they change the menu every day, and they say that right on the sign. There's always something different, so that was pretty interesting. And I also got to go to Slice of Vegas right before I went to the airport, like Paul recommended, so that was really great. It was somewhat funny, too, because they had some novelty drinks there, and they had a big drink that came in a fishbowl, which at first I was a little bit concerned about, but it was just a plastic bowl when we ordered it, and it did not contain an actual fish, which was really wonderful that they had that. If you're planning on making a vegan trip to Vegas, I would recommend you stick to Paul's suggestion and see some musical performances instead of the more traditional shows, because a lot of them do contain leather, feathers, potentially fur, and even dairy products in the show that we happen to see.
Thank you so much, Jenny, for your contribution to Animal Voices this week. And again, we're reminding you it's our spring member drive. Call 604-684-8494 now to show us your support. And we have a very special message. Thank you so much, Carl Loskin, for your generous support of Animal Voices. We couldn't do it without you. And if for those who don't know, Carl Loskin started Animal Voices...
Many years ago.
Once upon a time. And due to your amazing efforts over the years, we are here today. And we thank you, and we are very happy to be carrying on your legacy on Animal Voices. And thanks so much again for your support.
Next week's show on April 19th will be a special Earth Day themed show in honor of Earth Day, which happens next weekend. We'll be presenting a feature interview with author and local activist Eleanor Boyle, who has recently published the book called High Stakes, Why and How to Eat Less Meat. And she'll be speaking to us about the various environmental effects of the industrial meat production system. We here at the Animal Voices Show modestly ask you to keep connected with us via the World Wide Web. You can do so by signing up for our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. Join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. And please do send us your suggestions and comments about the show, radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Sometimes we kind of feel like we're kind of alone here, right? So, we love hearing your feedback, and we'll even write back to you. So also, please check out our website, animalvoices.org, where our shows can be downloaded from. We are looking for some good people in the Vancouver area to help us out as guest co-hosts on the show for the next several months while some of us regular hosts are away on vacation. If this interests you at all and you have some availability, at least to attend the radio station here in downtown Vancouver on Fridays from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., please do send us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, and we'll give you more details about these positions. So remember, it is our Co-op Radio Spring Member Drive on right now. If you appreciate the work that we do here every week at Animal Voices to bring you original, quality programming on the topics of current animal issues and the vegan lifestyle, please do show us your support by making a donation to us at Animal Voices at Co-op Radio, because we do rely on your donations to keep the show on the air. To make a donation of $5, $10, $20, or whatever you can afford, simply either call us right now at 604-684-8494 and we'll take your pledge over the phone, or you can just do so on our website as well, coopradio.org, that's the radio station's website, and click on Donate to Co-op Radio on the top right-hand corner of the site. Remember to indicate that your donation is going to go towards Animal Voices. So if you're in Canada, also your donations are tax deductible for any amount donated through the Co-op Radio website and for amounts of at least $25 over the phone. Every little bit helps, so we thank you for your assistance.
And we're going to leave you with a beautiful song called I Don't Eat Animals by Melanie Sofka. In 1970, she wrote this song for all the cows.
So I just wanted to say again, thanks for listening to the show, and remember to be kind to the animals.
I was just thinking about the way it's supposed to be. I'll eat the plants and the fruit from the trees, and I'll live on vegetables, and I'll grow on seeds, but I don't need animals, and they don't need me, oh no. But mostly it's not. A little bit of wholemeal, some raisins and cheese, but I don't need animals, and they don't need me. Oh no, I don't need animals, 'cause I love them, you see. I don't need animals, I want nothing dead in me. Dead in me.